All right, so fuel cells. That's what we're diving into today, but with a twist.
Yeah, a fascinating one at that.
Peptides. Peptides and fuel cells. Who knew, right?
It's not the most obvious pairing, but trust me, it's worth wrapping your head around.
When I first heard about it, I have to admit, I was a bit like, peptides? Seriously.
Well, I think we've all been there. It's like, isn't that something you'd find in a protein shake?
Exactly. So let's break this down for those of us who, aren't walking chemistry textbooks.
Sounds good to me.
First off, what makes these peptides so special? Why are we even talking about them in the context of fuel cells?
Okay, so peptides, they're like these tiny little chains of amino acids, right?
Amino acids, those are the building blocks of proteins, like the stuff that makes up, well, us.
You got it. And proteins, they're like the workhorses of the biological world. They do all sorts of amazing things.
So these peptides, are they like mini proteins?
Kind of. Think of them like little snippets of protein code, each with the potential to do something unique.
Okay, that makes sense, I guess. But how do they actually work in fuel cells?
Well, the researchers in the study, they focused on a specific type of fuel cell material called Nafion.
Nafion, right? I've heard of that. It's a key component, isn't it?
It is. It acts as a kind of membrane inside the fuel cell, allowing charged particles called protons to flow through.
And that flow of protons, that's what generates the electricity.
Bingo. So the more efficiently we can move those protons, the better the fuel cell performs.
Okay, got it. More protons, more power. So where do the peptides come in?
Well, the researchers were looking for a way to make that Nafion membrane even better at conducting those
Make it
protons.
more permeable.
Exactly. They wanted to fine-tune its properties at a molecular level, and that's where the peptides come in.
I'm starting to see where this is going, but this is where I get a little lost.
No worries, it's about to get really cool.
Okay, so how do they use the peptides to like tweak the Nafion?
It used a really clever technique called ultra-high density peptide arrays.
Okay, you're gonna have to break that down for me. That sounds crazy complicated.
It does, doesn't it? But it's actually quite elegant when you get down to it.
Okay, I'm all ears.
Imagine a microscope slide, but instead of one sample, it's covered in thousands of tiny dots. Each dot contains a different peptide, and they test which one interacts with the Nafion in the way they want.
So it's like a massive peptide screening process. They're searching for a needle in a haystack.
Exactly. A needle that can make a fuel cell work better. And the amazing thing is, they actually found it.
No way. Out of all those thousands of peptides they tested, they found one that really stood out.
They did. It's a peptide with, admittedly, a rather interesting name.
Oh, let's hear it. What's this wonder peptide called?
WIWHCW. Catchy, right?
WIWHCW. Wow. Try saying that three times fast.
I know, right? Not
Well,
exactly something that rolls off the tongue, but hey, it gets the job done, right?
so this WIWHCW, what is it about this peptide that makes it such a good fit for Nafion? What's its secret?
Well, that's where things get even more interesting. It all comes down to its shape and some very specific amino acids it has.
So we've got this peptide, this tiny little thing, and it's got this amazing grip on Nafion. What does that actually look like inside a fuel cell? How do we go from a gripping hand to a fuel cell that can, say, power a car more efficiently?
Well, imagine the Nafion in a fuel cell like a busy highway with lots of lanes. The protons are the cars trying to get through. This peptide, with its gripping hand, acts like a traffic controller, making sure those proton cars can zip through those lanes faster and more smoothly.
Okay, so better flow, less congestion. That means the fuel cell can convert energy more efficiently. But the paper also mentioned something about this peptide discovery opening doors for entirely new materials. That's where things got really mind-boggling for me.
Right. This is where it gets really exciting. Remember we talked about how the researchers tested thousands of peptides to find the perfect match? That technique, those ultra-high density peptide arrays, can be used to do much more than just tweak existing materials.
They're almost like testing grounds for molecular design.
Exactly. Think of it like a chef trying out different spice combinations to create a whole new flavor profile. With peptides, we're not just adjusting taste. We're tailoring the fundamental properties of materials at the most basic level.
So using this peptide testing method, we could potentially design materials that are specifically tailored for all sorts of applications.
Absolutely. And the paper hinted at one particularly fascinating avenue, virus templated synthesis. Now, I know that might sound a little intimidating.
Viruses, like the things that give you the flu. What do they have to do with building better fuel cells?
It's pretty wild, right? But hear me out. Viruses are essentially these incredibly tiny, naturally occurring structures with a knack for self-assembly. Scientists have figured out how to hijack that self-assembly process, using viruses as tiny scaffolds to build things at a nanoscale.
So these viruses are like microscopic 3D printers.
It's a good analogy. We can engineer viruses to display specific peptides on their surfaces, kind of like attaching tools to a tool belt. And remember, our special Naphion gripping peptide, imagine covering a virus with those.
You'd have a virus that could assemble itself and anything it touches into a structure optimized for proton conductivity. You're basically building the perfect fuel cell framework from the bottom up.
Now you're getting it. And it goes way beyond just fuel cells. We're talking about potentially revolutionizing everything from electronics and solar panels to drug delivery systems and water filtration.
Okay, slow down. That's a lot to process. Let's unpack this a bit more, starting with those other applications. You mentioned water filtration.
Sure. Remember how we talked about Naphion acting like a gatekeeper in fuel cells, controlling the flow of protons? Well, it's also really good at filtering things, allowing certain molecules to pass through while blocking others.
So we could use these peptide-coated viruses to create super-efficient water filters.
Exactly. We could potentially remove contaminants from water with incredible precision, providing clean drinking water to areas that desperately need it.
Okay, now that's something I can get behind.
Yeah.
Using cutting-edge science to solve real-world problems, that's what it's all about. But you also mentioned capturing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. That sounds like we're entering the realm of science fiction again.
It might sound like it, but the science is very real. By engineering materials at the nanoscale with specific properties, we could potentially create incredibly efficient scrubbers that pull carbon dioxide right out of the air.
And those scrubbers, you could build those using our little friend, the peptide-coated virus.
You got it. It's like giving the viruses a mission. Go forth and build us a cleaner future.
So let me get this straight.
Yeah.
We're talking about like taking a virus, something you can't even see, and using it to like build stuff that could help like save the planet.
It does sound kind of wild when you put it like that, but yeah, that's essentially the idea.
This is like some serious science fiction stuff we're talking about.
Well, science fiction today is often science fact tomorrow, right? And that's what's so cool about this whole field of nanotechnology. We're really pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
It's mind-blowing. And to think it all started with just trying to make fuel cells a little bit more efficient.
It just goes to show that sometimes the smallest discoveries can lead to the biggest breakthroughs.
It's like that saying, big things come in small packages. Except in this case, those small packages could revolutionize entire industries.
Absolutely. And it highlights something really important about scientific discovery that I think often gets overlooked. It's not always a straight line from A to B.
It's more like a winding road, with unexpected detours and scenic routes along the way.
Exactly. You might start off with one question, one hypothesis, and end up discovering a whole new set of possibilities, a whole new direction you never even imagined.
So what you're saying is, sometimes the most groundbreaking discoveries aren't about finding all the answers. It's about asking the right questions.
100%. It's that curiosity, that drive to explore the unknown, that really pushes science forward.
And who knows? Maybe someday one of our listeners will be the one asking those game-changing questions. Maybe they'll be the one to discover a new peptide, one that's even more versatile, even more powerful than this WIWHCW.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
Well, I think that about wraps up this deep dive into the world of peptides and their incredible potential. It's been a wild ride.
It has. From tiny molecules to massive global challenges, who knew peptides held so much promise?
That's the beauty of science, right? Always full of surprises.
Absolutely.
Well, on that note, we'll sign off for today. Thanks for joining us on this incredible journey into the nano world.